Okay, so we are here today on June 27, 2016, with Bhante Vimal Ramsey, the abbot of the Dhammasutra Meditation Center, and Venerable Punaji from Malaysia, originally from Sri Lanka. And tonight we'll be having a Dhamma discussion between both of them.
So I was asked today about the acronym TWIM. Why do we have the word wisdom in it? The word samadhi is always translated as concentration. Rhys Davies, in his dictionary, said that the word samadhi was never used before the time of the Buddha. There were many other words for the word concentration, but the Buddha wanted to use a different word so it would describe a different type of meditation. Sama means tranquil. D, according to, I think it was Bhadadatta, he had a dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
It was in his dictionary. D meant wisdom. So that's why we call it tranquil wisdom insight meditation. You have to have a very, very calm mind to be able to see the links of dependent origination. Anytime you hear the word wise or wisdom in the suttas, it's talking about seeing the links of dependent origination and understanding how this process works. And I wanted you to comment on this, if you can.
I didn't hear properly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a problem.
I turned my head towards you. Sama is tranquil. D, according to the Bhadadatta, is wisdom.
Yeah, wisdom.
And that's why we call this tranquil wisdom. There is insight in this meditation.
Yeah.
Meditation. TWIM. Rhys Davies, in his dictionary, said that the word samadhi was never used before the Buddha started using it to describe a different kind of meditation than one-pointed concentration.
Mm.
Is that correct?
Well, yeah. Samatha, I translate as tranquility, not concentration. Yeah. I don't use the word concentration.
I learned that from
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
I tell some of my students the word concentration is like a four-letter word in English. We don't use it.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me when I say that the word wisdom, when it's used in the suttas, is talking about dependent origination?
Well, I have no objection to using the word wisdom, because wisdom I see as the result of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That means you begin to understand or comprehend what is there to understand. Yeah.
Mm.
So, Bhante, I think samatha, the meaning of the samatha becomes wisdom. So, why the
No, not samatha, samadhi.
Samadhi.
D is wisdom.
So why the different books that they translate as concentrations?
Translations are different. It depends on the person that does the interpretation of the word, their understanding of it.
But I think that's not a very important problem, because this is all connected with wisdom, and the tranquil mind is able to understand things
and realize things.
Yeah.
I seem to get criticized a lot about the instructions in mindfulness of breathing when it says to tranquilize the bodily formation on the in-breath and tranquilize on the out-breath. There are some Australian monks that say when you practice one-pointed concentration, your mind is tranquil. But the word pasambhaya means, it's a verb or a noun or an adjective. And the only way we know that this is a verb to tranquilize is because of he trains thus. It doesn't say he trained thus and became tranquil. It says that you train thus to tranquilize. And there's a lot of people, because of some translations, that when they're talking about mindfulness of breathing, they call it the body of breath that they have to be aware of. My understanding is such that there's too much emphasis put on breath and not enough emphasis on tranquilizing. And what I see is there has to be this tranquilization on the in-breath and tranquilization on the out-breath of body. This is one of my favorite little tools. There's a membrane that goes over this, and in between and over. It's called the meninges. Every time there's a thought, feeling, or sensation, the brain pushes against the meninges and it causes slight tension. So what I take that to mean is on the in-breath, you relax so that there's no tightness against the meninges. On the in-breath, you do that. On the out-breath, you do that. And I have been criticized by an awful lot of people that practice many different forms of meditation, saying, no, that's wrong, because it's the body of breath that you have to tranquilize. And when that happens, what I tell people is they're focusing too much on the breath and not recognizing that the tightness is how you recognize craving. You agree with that? So, and of course you have the spinal cord going all the way down and the meninges is around that whole thing. So when you relax that tightness that you feel here, you're actually tranquilizing the whole body.
Well, the way I see it is like this. Now, if we read the sutra, Satipatthana Sutra, the Buddha says, Parimukhaṃ Satiṃ Upattapetvā. That means, Sato Asa Sati, Sato Pasa Sati. That Sato Asa Sati, Sato Pasa, you are aware of the breathing in and aware of the breathing out. You see, there is a mistake made by the commentators. That mistake is, you see, the word Parimukhaṃ Satiṃ Upattapetvā, there the word Mukha, they translate as mouth. Mouth. Mukha, they say, is mouth. And Pari means around. Around the mouth. Parimukha means around the mouth. And then they say, around the mouth is the upper lip. Then they say, upper lip means the nostril. And then they say, concentrating on the nostril. That is what you should do when you breathe in and breathe out. What I am saying is that that is wrong. What is called mukha is not mouth. Mukha is face. Now, when I said this in Malaysia, the people in Malaysia said, yes, according to our language, mukha means face. That means that is the real original meaning of the word mukha. It's not mouth, but in the Sri Lankan language, Sinhalese people, they use the word mukha to refer to the mouth. So I think that is a mistake that they made. But the real original meaning of mukha is face. Now the other point is, Parimukha. Pari means around. Now we say the environment is called Parisaraya. Pari means around. Environment is what is around you. And Parimukha means around the face. Now around the face means your attention normally, you all your senses, sense organs are in the face. The eyes in the face, nose in the face, the tongue in the face, the ears in the face. Now, when an animal like a dog walks in four legs, it's the face that goes in front, no? Now the human being, only because the human being is standing on two legs, the face is not going forward like that, but still it is the face that is in front. And because all the organs are in the face, so around the face means whatever is seen around you. And that means the eye, whatever the eye sees outside, and whatever the ear hears outside, everything is going around you. And Parimukhaṃ Satiṃ, the word sati really means attention. So, Parimukhang Sating means the attention that is focused on what is around you. Parimukhang Sating, Upatthapetva. Upa means inside. Upa means outside. Upa means inside. So, Upatthapetva means to establish, that means the attention that is focused on external things must be withdrawn from that and focused within. That is the meaning of that. And focus within means kayanupassana, vedananupassana, chittanupassana, dhammanupassana. That means you are focusing on the body, the feelings in the body, the emotional state in the mind, and the thoughts in the mind.
What do you mean by emotional state?
Emotional state means the word that normally used in English is what we call the mood. M-O-O-D, mood. What is your mood? That state of the emotional state is the mood. Are you angry or are you greedy or are you frightened or are you worried? That is the mood. So the chitta really means the mood. And the word mano refers to the thinking part. The thinking, reasoning, you find out whether it is true or false, good or bad. The thinking part is the mano. And what is in the mano is the thought. So when we say mano dhamma, just like we say chakku rupa, chakku is the eye, rupa is the mental image that we see.
I thought rupa was material.
What's that?
Material, rupa.
Rupa is not material, but we take it as material.
What's the definition of rupa then?
What's that?
The definition of rupa.
Rupa means image. Now when we say we are going to draw a picture, that is called rupa. That picture is called rupa. When a camera takes a picture, the picture is the rupa. So our eye is also like a camera taking pictures. And whatever we see, when I see a chair there, it is simply a picture in the eye.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So the word rupa, you're saying...
What's that?
The word rupa, is it...
Buddha?
Is it
rupa.
Yes. Is it the root...
Rupa.
Is it the root of the word arupa, like the arupa jhanas?
What's that? I don't hear that properly.
Okay. He wants to know if the root word for arupa is rupa.
Rupa, yes. Arupa.
Arupa.
Yeah, arupa means not rupa.
Not rupa.
A means not.
So not image.
Arupa means not rupa. Rupa is the picture. Arupa means not a picture. What?
Is it a form?
The form.
Yeah.
No, this is why the picture is, they use the word form to refer to the picture. It's a picture that you see. That form is another word they use to refer to a picture.
One of the words that's being used now a lot in the West is the word mindfulness.
I have an objection to that word.
I do too.
The word mindfulness is to fill the mind. But what you are really trying to do is to empty the mind,
right,
not to fill the mind. Mindfulness means you are fully conscious. That is the meaning of mindfulness. So the problem here is, are you focusing on external things or are you focusing on what is going on inside you? So the Satipatthana is to focus on what is going on inside you,
right,
not what is going on outside. But what is going on inside is your reaction to what is going on outside. So instead of looking at what is going on outside, we have to take our mind inwards and look at the reaction, because it is the reaction that we are trying to get rid of.
I want to tell you my definition of mindfulness.
Yeah.
It's remembering to observe how mind's attention moves from one thing
that's
to
right.
another.
That's right. It's to observe your own mind.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But there's been
You're not trying to observe what is going on outside, but what is happening to your mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
With that definition, I find that the students go much deeper in their understanding.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, good.
Hmm? You have something to say?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Can someone attain nirvana by practicing loving kindness only?
What is that? Whether by practicing metta, whether you can become attain nirvana. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Now, if you take the sutra on metta, do you know how the sutra ends? You don't know that, huh? It ends by saying, Dittincha anupagamma dasanena sampanno kamesu vineya gedang nahi jatu gabbaseyang punaretiti. You have to understand the meaning of that. What it says is, if you practice this metta in the proper way, at the end you will not enter a mother's womb, or that means you won't be reborn.
Huh? We agree completely.
And another question.
You can, what that means, if you practice metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha in the proper way, you can become an arahant. Huh?
The meditation divided into two groups, samatha and vipassana. So, in the samatha, there are 40 kinds of meditation.
According to a commentary.
No, the thing is, when you practice metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, you are starting with samatha. That is, metta, karuna is samatha. Then when you come to mudita, you are still at samatha. But when you get into upekkha, you know the meaning of upekkha?
Yeah.
What is that?
Equanimity.
Huh?
Equanimity.
That is the wrong translation. That is the wrong translation. Upekkha means upa ikkati. I told you upa means inside, outside is upper. Now, upa ikkati means seeing the inside. You know, this has a very important meaning. Seeing the inside means, now when you look at the chair there, where is the chair? The chair is outside there, it's not inside. You see? But if you, instead of looking at the chair outside, if you begin to look at the process of seeing, the process of seeing is something going on inside. Did you understand that? The seeing and what you see and how you see. This is why I use those words. What you see is outside there. How you see is inside here. So when you talk about seeing the inside, you are really looking at the process of perception. The seeing. What, how you see. So instead of looking at what you see, you must look at how you see. And it is only when you look at how you see that the real insight comes. The real insight is what you see there, although you see it like that, it is really inside you. Because your eye is like a camera taking pictures. And the picture is inside here, not there. So the whole world that you see outside is really inside. You see, the Buddha is called Tathagata. The meaning of tat is like this English word, that. You know the English word, that. That is always outside there. Tat, agata. Agata means come. I have come. Agata means that is, I have arrived at that. That is the meaning of tat agata. One who has arrived at that. That means that has been seen as this. What is inside, you see? In other words, there is no object there. But there is only the subject. This is what, you know, there was, during the time of the Buddha, there was a person called Daruchirya. What? Bahya Daruchirya. Now, he had been meditating and he was very advanced in meditation. And he thought he was an arahant. But his mother was born as a deva. And the mother looked at him from the devaloka and saw that he was not an arahant and that he was also going to die soon. So the mother came and said, you think you are an arahant, but you are not an arahant. The real arahant is there, that the Buddha. Go and talk to him. Because you are going to die very soon. So he got excited and he went to see the Buddha. And then the Buddha was going on Pindapatha. So when the Buddha was going on Pindapatha, the Buddha said, I can't teach you now. I'll go finish the Pindapatha and then I will talk to you. He said, no, 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 don't do that, please, because I might die at any moment. So the Buddha looked into his... and then he saw that he was... It is true that he was going to die soon. So the Buddha said, okay, I will teach you. And he said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing. In the seeing means S-E-E-N, seeing. In the seeing, there is only the seeing, S-E-I-N-G. You see? So that means what you see outside there is really the seeing inside, what you see. So that is the important thing to understand. That is the meaning of Tathagata. And also the Hindus borrowed some Buddhist ideas from the Buddha and incorporated in their Upanishads and things like that. So there is a common saying among the Hindus, Tattvam Asi. Tat tvam asi. Tat means that. Tvam means you. So tat tvam asi means you are that. That means you are the subject. That is the object. So what they are saying is the same thing. That the subject, the object is really the subject. And that is the meaning of Tathagata, the Buddha. So many ways he is talking about the same thing. So ultimately what we call insight is really becoming aware of that process of perception. Normally people are aware of the object that we see. But here the Buddha or the Arahant is looking at... Now if you read the the first sutra in the Manjima Nikaya, Agganya Sutra, that Agganya Sutra, that is what the Buddha is pointing out there. He is comparing how the ordinary person sees things in the world. Then how the person who is meditating sees the world. Then he points out how the Arahant who has finished meditation, who has perfected, and how the Buddha sees. This is the same thing. He points out Pataving Patavito Sanjanati. Pataving Patavi means a solid. Any solid that we are thinking of. Chaya is a solid. Normally people see the solid. That is Pataving Patavito Sanjanati. And pataving patavito sanyatva pataving manyati. That means having seen the patavi, the object, he comes to the conclusion there is an object there. That is the normal person. But the Arahant, pataving patavito abhijanati, that word abhijanati, the ordinary person was sanjanati. Sanjanati is just seeing the thing. Abhijanati is a higher level of seeing, which is not seeing the object, but seeing how the object is seen. That is the abhijanati. And then he says, pataving patavito abhinyatva pataving namanyati. He doesn't come to the conclusion that there is a chair there. That is the important thing about the arahants.
Bhante,
huh?
It is on Mula Paryaya Sutta, not Afghanistan.
Mula Paryaya, that's right, yeah. It's a Mula Paryaya Sutra.
Bhante,
Darujira, you are talking about Darujira.
How his mom knew that he wasn't attained arahantship in the human world?
What is he saying?
How is the mother of Bahya Darujira knew
that
he had not attained arahantship? How did she know?
Because he saw from the, as a deva, he was able to read his mind, no? The devas are able to read the mind.
So you mean those who were reborn
in
Deva Loka, they can read the other mind? Is it possible?
What is it?
Can the divine beings, the devas, read the other people's mind?
Oh, yes, yes.
There is mind-to-mind communication, let's put it that way.
Oh, yes. They have certain powers that we don't have. Devas, there are so many other powers that they have which we don't have.
So how can they gain that power? How?
By dying.
You have to become a deva to find out.
Yeah.
Only by observing, seeing.
No, it is like you are able to walk and you are able to talk. Maybe some other animals are not able to do that. Everything is like that, you see. So you are born with certain abilities. What?
Except metta bhavana, if we practice like maranasati and other practices, can we attain nibbana?
How the through metta bhavana, how you attain nirvana?
No.
Is that what you're asking? Huh?
What is it?
He wants to know about the 40 different kinds of meditation, whether you can...
What is that?
The 40 different kinds of meditation in Visuddhimagga.
Uh-huh.
He wants to know if you can attain Nibbana with those.
No. The 40 different kinds of meditation, they are what is called Samatha Bhavana. So the Samatha Bhavana can only calm the mind. It doesn't bring you insight.
Unless you
practice insight comes from a different kind of meditation. That is the Vipassana Bhavana.
There are suttas that say Samatha and Vipassana are evenly yoked together.
What? Yeah.
In the Satipatthana Sutta, it has the five aggregates.
Yeah.
The five aggregates and the four foundations of mindfulness are the same thing.
Yeah.
While you're in the jhana, you can have insight if according to my way of thinking, and yeah. It seems to be right.
No, the thing is, not the first jhana. You have to get to the fourth jhana to get the insight. Once you are in the fourth jhana, you can get.
It depends on your definition of insight, then.
Well, maybe, I don't know. But how do you say that in the first jhana you can get insight?
If you have a hindrance, if you have a hindrance arise,
yeah,
and you relax and let it go, your mind becomes pure.
Yeah, yeah, mind gets pure.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean nirvana.
No. Well, it means in the first jhana,
there are no hindrances.
Right.
Therefore, the mind is pure.
Right.
But although the mind is pure, you have not become an arahant.
No.
Yeah.
And insight doesn't imply that you are an arahant. Insight means
No, insight also, there are different degrees of insight.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was trying to explain how you have insight in the first jhana, when you let go of the hindrance.
Yeah.
You don't take it personally anymore.
Your
mind is pure.
Your feeling of self disappears.
Right.
In the first jhana.
And that is an insight.
Yeah, you can call it an insight, but the thing is, that is not permanent.
Well, no.
That
it's
is why.
It's not permanent until you become an arahat.
No. The thing is, if you become enter the first jhana, your mind is purified. Even the thought of self disappears. But when your mind gets polluted again, that disappears.
Yes.
So that is a temporary purification of the mind.
Absolutely. But there is insight.
What I am calling insight is the permanent purification of the mind, where you begin to understand the truth about life, and then you won't be polluted again. That is the arahant.
But, yeah, that is the arahant. But you said you don't get any insight until the fourth jhana. Does that mean that you have permanent?
No, that arahant state cannot come in the first jhana.
I didn't say that.
Huh?
I didn't say that. But you said you get insight in the first jhana.
You can get insight in the first jhana.
Yes.
But not to the level of understanding,
that's why it's the first jhana.
Yeah, yeah.
But you said that until the fourth jhana you don't get insight. Is that permanent in the fourth jhana?
Yeah, yeah. You can become an arahant in the fourth jhana.
I just got through reading a sutta. I just got through reading a sutta to everyone that it can happen even in the first jhana that you can become. You can experience Nibbana.
Well, you have a sutra that says that?
Yes.
Ah.
51 or 2, I don't remember. 52. Well, look at that.
What is the name of the sutra?
I will show you right now.
Attaka Nagara Sutra.
So when I'm teaching the meditation, I tell people that they have the potential to attain Nibbana. And it can happen at any time. It depends on that person and their understanding.
But the way it is written here, It looks like in the first jhana you can become an arahant here.
I think if that does happen at the first jhana, that it's one in a few hundred million.
Very special person.
Yeah.
Bahia's mother.
But the thing with the awakening factors is that they will come together and they will be in perfect balance. And there is, in the Anupada Sutta, it says even in the first jhana, there is some upekkha. And when you experience it, you see it, because you see that there's a certain amount of balance. It's not real strong, but it is there.
Some people, I think you have to say, have an incredible understanding that they bring to the meditation before they even start, and they just get it.
We have to look into this,
Okay.
Looks like what you are saying is correct.
I do have the Pali. I have Majjhima Nikaya in the Pali. So. I'll bring that to you.
I have a question. In the Mahasachika Sutta, number 36. Mahasachika? The Buddha rejects Alara Kalama and Udo Ramaputta's teaching of the concentration method. He says, it doesn't get you to Nibbana. So what did he reject? What was that method that they were teaching?
I didn't hear that properly.
In Mahasachaka Sutta,
Mahasachaka?
Yes.
Here?
Buddha is rejecting. Buddha is rejecting.
Yeah.
What Aralakaram and Uddhakalama Buddha was teaching.
Yes.
As dhyanas.
Yes.
So he's asking, what did he reject? What was that practice that Buddha rejected? They were practicing dhyanas too.
This is why I was talking this morning about the difference between absorption jhana and twin. I was rejecting, or I was talking about the difference between what the monk from Australia you were talking about is teaching as compared with what I was teaching. And the difference is he was teaching absorption concentration.
Absorption concentration?
A kind of hypnosis, self-hypnosis, like you described. That's why it doesn't lead to Nibbana. But what I'm teaching, by letting go of and relaxing the craving, it changes back to the path and it does lead to Nibbana. What he's asking is, why did the Buddha reject Alara Kalama and Udaka Ramaputta? They said, come and teach. And he said, no, not satisfied. Because he wasn't recognizing the craving that he kept bringing back to his object of meditation. And that took him off the path that he was looking for.
Can I have a look at that?
This is about Alara Kalama, my teacher, right at the top, right there. is one of the reasons I have a problem with samatha meditation and vipassana meditation.
Oh no, this what together. This means is that now the Alarakalama and Uddakaramputtava, the teachers that he went after, no? So the Buddha was able, the Buddha, not Buddha at that time,
right.
Prince Siddhartha, he was able to reach the level that Alarakalama had reached.
Yeah.
And so Alarakalama said, now you have reached the same level that I have reached. So be here, we will be two teachers teaching these people. So the Prince Siddhartha said, no, I don't want to be your teacher and I want to go further than that.
Right.
Yeah, I want to go further than that. And he went to get Uddakaramaputta. Now Uddakaramaputta had reached the same level that Alarakalama had reached. But he said, my teacher, who is now dead, my teacher, who is Uddakarama, he had reached the next stage, higher stage. And I can tell you what he told me, and if you like, you can try it. So he said, okay, you tell me. And then he was told, and he tried that, and he reached that stage of non-return, what's that? Neva-sanya, na-sanya-yata. So then this Uddakaramaputta said, now you have reached the level of my teacher. So I will treat you as my teacher. You stay here. Then he said, no, I'm not interested in being your teacher. I want to go further. And that is how he went to do asceticism. He thought there is no other way. I will try in the ascetic life. And that is how he started fasting and he became like a skeleton, and ultimately he even started to stop breathing. And when he started to stop breathing, then he fainted and fell. And then when he woke up, he thought, I have been doing the wrong things all this time. And because I have been trying to learn from other people, I have to go my own way, not to go after other people. And then he recalled that when he was a child, he was able to enter the first jhana. And so he thought, now I will give up everything and I enter the first jhana.
It had to be a different jhana than what he was practicing with these other teachers.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It is something different. Yeah.
What?
And that jhana was something that automatically came to him as a child. There was no one to teach him.
Right.
Because he had been practicing all the paramitas, all this time, and so he automatically entered that. So he got into that. I call it just letting go. That is what he did. It's not really anapanasati.
Right.
It was just letting go, giving up everything. Letting go means relaxing.
Yeah.
It's the main thing that he did was relaxing, nothing else. Just relaxed. And so when he relaxed, he entered the first jhana automatically.
Yes.
because he was free from the hindrances. When he's free from the hindrances, and then, of course, from the first jhana, he went to the third, second, third, and fourth jhana, and then he went even to the others, akasananchayatana, vinyananchayatana, and he went to sanya vedaita nirodha. So when he went to sanya veda nirodha, that thing called mind was absent at that point.
Right.
So he had only the physical body which is alive, and there was a temperature in the body. And that is all. That is the difference between a dead body and a person who has entered that state. So there was no mind as such. And then, when he came out of that, what came was Vedana and Sanya. And Vedana and Sanya is the Chitta Sankara. There are three Sankaras, Kaya Sankara, Vachi Sankara, and Chitta Sankara. So Vedana Sanya is the Chitta Sankara. Then from Chitta Sankara, he came back again one by one and came to the third jhana. When he, at the third jhana, the breathing starts. That is the Kaya Sankara. And then when he came to the first jhana, the Vitakka Vichara, which is the verbal sankhar, vachi sankhar.
Right.
And then, with that, he began to understand how the paticca samuppada he understood through that. And that is how he ultimately became the Buddha. So, this is very interesting to understand. Oh, you have another one.
Now, what I wanted to show you here, it's called origination.
Uh-huh.
Before my awakening, while I was still a bodhisattva, not fully awakened, it occurred to me, alas, the world has fallen into trouble. This sutta shows how the Buddha, before he became the Buddha, figured out the links of dependent origination.
Yeah.
How he figured all the, how they were... it's called Origination. It's in the Nidana Sutta. It's number 4, maybe, or 10, or something. Look at the... do you have a copy of this? Yeah. We'll give you the page number.
If before the Buddha became enlightened, awakened, if he was able to figure that out, what's the difference then with his awakening experience? What was different there?
That's the difference between intellectual knowledge and knowing and seeing. The direct experience. That's the realization. You can have all of this knowledge and know it intellectually, but that doesn't mean you're going to attain Nibbana.
Uh-huh.
But when you realize it, you see it, it's very deep, that is the way it works. So it's your understanding, knowing and seeing. So I got you holding the heavy book again. Don't take it. So why don't we share some merit and call us to a conclusion. Okay? Mace. suffering ones be suffering free, and the fear-struck fearless be. May the grieving shed all grief, and may all beings find relief. May all beings share this merit that we've thus acquired for the acquisition of all kinds of happiness. May beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merit of ours. May they long protect the Buddha's dispensation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you.